Good morning, I'm David Ellis and I welcome you to this, the Monday edition of Down to Brass Tacks. We're going to 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock today. And I know all the comments that I'm going to get from some people about how this is political season. Today is nomination day. How you expect to cut the program at 1 o'clock instead of going to the usual 2 o'clock just to bring something else. Well, it isn't just something else that we are bringing. We're bringing fireworks. Fireworks starts today. And, you know, as much as you want to have a focus on the politics, we also know you have an interest in what is happening with this festival, the personalities, the events, and the issues surrounding the festival. So we're trying to straddle both fences, which we have done in the past successfully, and we have absolutely no doubt that we will do so yet again. Now, you remember yesterday at the start of the program, we brought you about 11 minutes from the Barbados Labour Party launch. Balance. And I call that word balance because they got some people, I realize, different people try to run Starcom their way, even though they have other fora that they can use. And they try to dictate to us how we should run the radio station and sometimes how we should try to run foul of the license that we have. Well, let me reassure you that notwithstanding whatever views individuals have within this station, those views should not cause us to move away from the concept of balance when we are doing this job. And therefore, the balance dictates that if the Labour Party was given an opportunity to share their key points or what we interpreted to be some of the highlights, because sometimes what the journalists and media people see as the main points, the politicians don't. So what we brought you yesterday were what we saw as the highlights of that meeting. Now, the Democratic Labour Party also had a meeting now last night. And as you know, this meeting was held in close proximity to the National Stadium, right in the heart of the constituency of Mia Motley, leader of the opposition Barbados Labour Party. The Democratic Labour Party made absolutely no apologies for it. This, they said, was about leadership. And in that context, therefore, speech after speech focused on Mia Motley. Here is now the edited version of what we see as the highlights. Now, balance normally says that if you have given one side 10 minutes, the next side should get 10 minutes. I know you guys have drifted away from these concepts, and at times you think that, you know, that's something that was from yesteryear and should not be repeated. But anyhow, we're going to try our best to stay within those boundaries. So for 11 minutes and 35 seconds, this is some of what was said last night. And I think we're going to begin with the comments that came from Michael Lashley.
The Barbados Labour Party, at some time, I believe it was in 2013, placed Mia Motley in the political dock to answer some charges. That was in 2013, I believe, around February 25th, when they had a meeting to choose the leader. But I can speak about that because there's a public document and there's an affidavit in the court that really mentioned the character and speak to the character of Mia Motley. In that meeting, the first charge was laid by a man called Kerry Simmons. If I call him Cutty Rhymes, because he likes cutting up car seats. He said, he alleged that Mayor Motley financed his wife and also made her a director of one of her companies. The second charge came from, I believe, a man by the name of Ronald Toppin. And he said, look, Motley, you have done some terrible things to me, but I have gotten over the demons. And then the third charge came from a man called George Payne, who said, you know what? Based on your antecedents, you are unsuitable to lead the Barbados Labour Party. That is what happened in the Barbados Labour Party. So I'm saying to you that if her own members decide that she's unsuitable for leadership, then why should Barbadians make her suitable for leadership? The member for Christchurch East, I believe that is Dennis Lowe, again challenged Mayor Motley to bring her LEC to Parliament and produce it. If you ask Verita Pisa to bring her LEC, she can't produce it. If you ask the Right Honourable Prime Minister to produce it, he can't produce it. If you ask Stephen Lasher to produce it, he can't produce it. And if you ask me to produce it, I can produce mine. Look at here, look. And right here, I can produce it. I can produce it. I went to law school and I got my LEC.
DLP St. Philip West candidate, Dr. David Estwick.
I listened very carefully to the campaign manager. And the campaign managers made it clear that there will be time for other discussions. But I still have to say a few things tonight. Because Mayor Motley watching Thomas Harry Potter on TV. She is a student of Dumbledore's. Because she got a matter one for every. One for the sewage, one for sanitation, one for health, one for education, one for trucks. Who the is this? But I really don't understand it. Here you have a central bank governor telling you these are the things that wrong in Barbados that we got to fix. And here she, I don't read my what I want, I can fix that. I don't remember what I want, I don't get money. Now you see, look. Bobby, the economy time can come when we refer to the economy and the hogwash of nonsense I heard last night. God, I cannot understand how you're going to tell me and tell people in Barbados that you have an economy that has gone through a difficult period of time, but yet you going to come and tell Barbadians that what you going to get rid of the NSRL and other tax measures to raise revenue, so the revenue that the government going to fall, you going to increase every. I want Mayor to tell me two questions, ask me to answer two questions. Mayor, 7 million gallons of sewage go to the plant every single day. In order to fix the plant, you got to drain the system. You can't go down in a sewage filled set of lines to find out what's wrong. Where are you going to put 7 million gallons of sewage every day more in order to go there and fix it? Up your way, eh, Donovan?
DLP St. Michael Northwest candidate, Chris Sinclair.
Dr. Sekou knows, because she's the minister responsible for NIS, that such madness would only collapse the national insurance system of Barbados. Because nobody explained to this brilliant person called Miss Motley, who is consumed of all the knowledge in the world, that old age non-contributory pensions are indexed by differential, you hear the fancy word, to contributory pensions.
So if you increase non-contributory pensions, you're going to increase the contributory pensions. Because what sense would it make for you to wear and make a contribution with the father who ain't contributing nothing getting all the time? But I mean, it is the biggest set of buffoonery I have ever heard coming out of. Look, not even Johnny McGill could have produced such foolishness. And he is known for producing some good nonsense. Look, let me explain. There is a basic principle, a formula. You take the number of non-contributory pensions, you multiply it by the number of weeks in a year, and you multiply that by the amount you're paying them. That's how you work out how much it is. So if the minimum national insurance, the minimum non-contributory pension is $155, and you propose to increase it to $225, how much that is? 70, right? So you have to take, say, 6,300, that's the last count I saw, pensioners, non-contributory pensioners. You have to multiply that by 52 weeks, and then multiply that by 70. If you do that, you can get somewhere around $23-24 million. You are talking about increasing non-contributory pensions by $23 million a year. We already pay on average about $48 million a year in non-contributory pensions. That's what the Ministry of Finance says to NIS. And you got add on another $23 million on that, and then compound it, because that is a 45% increase. You have now to go and increase the contributory pensions, because there must be a differential between the two. You want to tell me that something is wrong up top of her head? In 3 weeks' time, Marley is going to spend $300 or $400 million in an economy that they say is doing so bad, everybody is second thought. The one that somebody put out today on the social media, that it might sound sweet and drink like Kool-Aid, but you might end up like Jim Jones people in Guyana. So a prison burned down, stadium in built, St. Leonard's School, all kinds of hanky-panky going on there, and she walking around talking about corruption and corruption and corruption. She's not asking for any of these things, you know. Huh? And then you have the prison. Yes? Then you have the prison. You have the court building. Right? Which they moved into before it was properly cleaned, industrially cleaned. And no one blame the Democratic Labor Party because it's going more. Yeah? The forensic center. You can plot the coordinates.
Huh? Prime Minister Frondell Stewart.
Page 4 of the Nation newspaper of Tuesday, March 12, 2002.
He quoted the then Chief Justice of Barbados, Sir David Simmons.
He said, her bloodlines, you listen to the language very carefully, her bloodlines spell and portend limitless and boundless opportunities for higher achievement. I know I challenged it. And I know that the report of my challenge, even though watered down, was carried. That is why I have to believe tonight that Patrick Todd is a better fit for St. Michael Northeast because of his strength of character, his capacity for hard work, his intellectual capacity, his humanity. Better fit for here than for anybody who believes in bloodline politics. When I hear my colleagues say how critical this campaign is, how crucial it is for the future of Barbados, that is what we are talking about. Are we going to allow the values that derive from hard work
trying and failing, but never failing to try. Discipline, strength of character, integrity. Are we going to allow those values to go by the wayside and replace them with something called bloodline, where all that matters is who your family, who your father is and who your mother is, who your grandparents are, who your cousins are? Barbados has passed that stage too long. And we are not going back there. The Democratic Labour Party came into existence to fight that, and we have fought it successfully.
That's Prime Minister Frondell Stewart speaking at the Democratic Labour Party's launch meeting last evening. This is Down to Brass Tacks. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we're going until 1 o'clock today, so make wise use of your time. Hello?
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
Yes. We're talking about the money that we're going to get this money from to buy these trucks and all that. NIS has money. How can we get money to squander and lavish? I know there's a set of people now saying that they're going to do this and they're going to do that, and we're going to say that we don't have that money. Yet still, you can see every MP with a newborn vehicle. You can see them living above their means as never yet they have lived before. What are we telling the people of Barbados? Why are we sending them to universities and then looking in their face and think that they're stupid?
But don't
the
you think...
The middle class right now in Barbados is completely wiped out.
Is it completely wiped out?
It's completely wiped out. You're either rich or you're poor.
Is that so?
Yes, yes. And I was discussing this about 12 years ago. And if you realize that the middle class that's still living as middle class, they're living on credit cards. I mix among all sorts of people.
Mm-hmm.
You hear what I tell you? And the middle class right now is crying, literally crying, because they're not used to the kind of life they're living.
Okay, can I agree with you that there's pressure on the middle class? Mm-hmm. But to say that we have wiped out the middle class and that Barbados is only now rich or poor does not square with the truth.
Okay,
well, I don't think so. I think because there's still, you know, there's still a lot of people whose income and whose lifestyle really does demonstrate that they are middle class. However, as I said to you, I would agree with you that many of the people who are classified as middle class have been pressurized. I mean, if you look at the amount of disposable income that has been taken out of this economy, if you look at the incentives which the government used to give for things like the tax breaks on repairs to your home and things like that, all of these things have helped to sap the disposable income away from middle class people. And there are indeed people who have a problem. As a matter of fact, only yesterday I was hearing somebody who is in the real estate business talk about the number of houses that have been for sale. And what that guy was saying to me is that in his experience, there are houses that they're closed for 10 years. Some of them, all right, that's not all of them. Some of them closed for 10 years. And it creates an environment. You know, if you keep a house closed that long, what are the implications for things like the tiles and stuff like that? So, pardon?
Closed. Most of those houses that are closed, those are from the bank, you know.
Yes.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Yes.
All right. Let me go on a little further because everybody must get in who want to get in this morning. We talk about the bloodlines people. If that these people that in right now, they were a part of the bloodline people, there would have been a better party to return back in right now. You know why? Because this set of politicians, they are greedy and they are very, very selfish.
Okay. Be careful where you go from here. Look, if you make that kind of charge, then you've got to be able to back that up with something that ain't defamatory.
Well, I ain't backing it up with nothing because...
Well, if you can't back it up, then I, you know...
Everything is there in black and white.
Well, you know, No. We don't work so here, not in this forum. In this forum, if you make a charge, you need to be able to support the charge. and you need to be able to support it in a way that does not put us in trouble. You have a perception, that's your perception, but I don't know that you haven't supported it for us, but we get some other reaction here. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Hello? You on the air?
Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Yes, sir. You know, it is very interesting to actually hear all that little transcript that you have put over the air there.
You didn't listen to the meeting, or you didn't go to it?
No, I actually live in close proximity of where it was.
Yes,
so there was more said. But it is very interesting, you know, to hear a political party says that they're actually going to run on spiritual value and moral and actually talk about someone like that.
Well, you listen to the meeting because you live close to it. The most important thing for me was that we faithfully captured the tone of that meeting and that we didn't leave out anything that you might consider to be positive, so that we could just carry a negative picture of what was said at the meeting. So,
I understand that. I understand that. But look at it. I don't know if anyone have heard them talk about the problems that the country is facing right now and what they're going to do about it. I really don't.
That didn't come up at last night's meeting at all.
So it was all about belittling someone.
Yes, but they say that they're going to launch their candidates on Wednesday. So we wait until then. But the first attack would have been to go after Ms. Motley, as I suggested yesterday, as leader of the Barbados Labour Party. That their strategy is, if you want to big up Todd and give him a good head start, take her on. But if you could take her on enough, and let's look at this, the possible strategy here. You take her on and enough pressure is applied to her, then she's also kept at home a little bit more and cannot range far and wide across St. Michael and across Barbados to try to bolster the chances of other candidates of the Barbados Labour Party. So I see that as basically the objective of that meeting. But what are your thoughts as somebody who would have listened to it?
My thought is this. And I'm just going to say this and leave because I know you're going to be short today, right? God is not mocked, right? And out of Minister Steve Blackett in Parliament, these words came out of his mouth. And blood is going to run in the streets of Barbados, but not in the sense everyone is going to think. Because on that particular day, it's going to be a different outcome if they continue on the platform that they're heading down. So thank you very much for the time, sir.
Thank you. It's time to get your reaction, your views, your thoughts. Hello? Down to Brass Tacks. You on the air? 4341790. That's the number for you to call in this shortened edition of the program ending at 1 o'clock today. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, ma'am.
I am very, very... I live in St. Philip West. And I'm very disappointed with Mr. David Estrit in the way that he approached Miss Mia Motley. And I think he needs to apologize. I have tears in my eyes. He should not get on like that in that kind of behavior. That's all I have to say.
Let's take another call. Down to Brass Tacks.
Good morning, David.
Yes, morning.
How are you this morning?
I'm well.
You said you was going to bring a balance. I can remember you made mention about the crowd at Weymouth.
I'm not getting involved in the crowd. There was a lot of...
How you could get involved in the crowd last
All I said about... Man, stop coming... Look. Stop coming to quarrel with me so early this morning. Look, everybody has got the capacity to see for themselves what the crowd was like at Weymouth. and what it was like down at Station Hill. And if you want to give your assessment of it, you are free to do so. You know, don't come and get all upset with me because I'm not getting too deeply involved in that. They said there was a large crowd, but all indications are that, you know, the crowd that they would have had there last night seemed not to be as large as the one that was at Weymouth. But that's my assessment. Let the police give you the actual figures. And if you you want to do anything, you give an assessment. And the truth of the matter is, for you to get all hot and sweaty and put down the phone just because I am not prepared to get involved in a numbers game, I mean, that's a bit shabby, really shabby. This is down to brass tacks. Hello?
But hi, good morning.
Morning. Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm well.
Tell me something. If the measures that Ms. Motley is suggesting were brought by the DLP administration, what would you say?
Well, I'm not the person who is raising all of these questions.
Well, anyhow, okay.
I would say to you, in all fairness, there is a valid question on the table as to how Ms. Motley is going to do what she's going to do. Now, remember, the BLP had a meeting night before last, and they also had a meeting last night. And I have heard her come to this particular issue, because these are the real nitty-gritty issues that we need to be examining and talking about in this campaign. How do you propose to fix Barbados' problem? And both political parties and the other political parties, both major ones, and the other political parties involved are required to do that. So what I heard from her last night, from her speech last night, suggests to me that she is thinking debt restructuring. And I mean, at some point I'll play the portion that I considered relevant to that particular point, okay? So that then will open up the debate now and take it in a different direction, and most likely it can take it deeper as to, you know, whether you can make these promises on the basis of debt restructuring and how so, and if so, why so, okay?
But debt restructuring is like kicking the can down the road, though.
Well, but Bob, it also is perceived, and don't forget, the debt restructuring idea is not only a BLP idea, if that is what she's saying.
But okay,
the Democratic Labour Party came with it, and it is breathing space. But once you get the breathing space, then you are expected to exercise the discipline that will take you there, because you're not going to get it without some degree of sacrifice and without some degree of hard work. And some element of restructuring as well. The things that we have been talking about for so long are upon us now. This election, after this election, I believe you're going to see it.
But Mr. Ellis, I want the economists in Barbados and in the BLP especially, mm-hmm. and maybe even you, to let Barbados know that debt restructuring or no debt restructuring, there's no way that those measures could work. No way.
Well, you know who's saying that? If you know, the truth of the matter is that the only people who have the credibility when they speak to whether measures can work or not are people who implemented measures that worked. Whether those people are in Barbados or elsewhere, you know, very well qualified economists and financiers and that sort of thing. What is happening here is that we have not gotten the full story yet.
I think we need a debate, though.
Well, maybe.
Somebody needs to debate Ms. Motley.
Listen, that is true. But I want to just point out something to you that you may already know. Ms. Motley and the Barbados Labour Party have advanced a few of their ideas, and they are about to unveil their manifesto on Thursday. The Democratic Labour Party has not told us how it is going to fix the problem. It is now analyzing what Ms. Motley has said and has articulated to the public that they can't work, fine. But people will also be asking them to say what they have in mind that they believe can work.
So, so you say that the DLP hasn't said anything as yet?
Not as far as I am concerned.
Are you waiting on the manifesto?
No. I don't believe that what we have heard from the Democratic Labour Party so far in the last 10 years and towards the end with this program that they said they were going to implement, that that is the be-all and end-all of what they are going to put to us.
But not a word from the BLP,
I'd be surprised. I thought...
No, if you're telling me them things, those measures that Ms. Molly saying that she planted...
Look, all I'm saying to you is what I see looking at this as objectively as possible is that you have had these ideas put up by Ms. Motley, and the valid, legitimate question has been raised.
But you know there's also...
Let me finish the point.
Go ahead.
The valid question has been raised. How do you propose to deal with this? On the other side of the coin, there is, at the moment, no proposal on the table from the Democratic Labour Party as to exactly how they propose to deal with it. So we are still early in this campaign, looking for the complete answers from Ms. Motley and answers coming from the Democratic Labour Party as well.
And my last question, are you sure that Ms. Motley is going to be the Prime Minister if they happen to win the election?
That's not for me to determine.
But that's the question that you should put on the table, because we are the BLP.
Well, there's no, you know full well that the Prime Minister of a country is chosen by the people who are elected. And in that context, therefore, there's no guarantee that either Ms. Motley or Mr. Stewart would be Prime Minister. Right.
That's the saying on all the polls, so I assume that she's expected to be.
She's leading the Barbados Labour Party into the election, as Mr. Stewart is leading the Democratic Labour Party into the election. And as such, the structure of Barbados being what it is, the political system, you need to have somebody identified as the maximum leader, because our politics demands that of political parties.
But once
people have been chosen by the electorate, then the party that commands the majority determines who will be their prime minister.
But, Mr. Ellis, you know that members of her party would have removed her before.
Yes.
Okay.
Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Hello. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Yeah. Start off by asking if you followed the entire meeting presented last night by the Democrats.
Yes.
You heard a character on slaughter and assassination made by some of the people that were on the platform. I mean, some of the assault on VOB personalities, Mr. Johnson, Mr. Ellis, Mr. Wickham, Mr. Murray, Mr. Price, Anchor Price. I mean, you heard that?
You mean the comments that were made by the Minister of Finance?
Yeah.
I didn't take them seriously.
Well, it's not a matter of taking it seriously, David. We are in a serious time. This country is facing one of the toughest economic times that I have ever seen in my lifetime. I don't know about you. I don't know your age, right? But have you ever seen a crisis to the level that we have right now in Barbados before?
Well, we all agree that the
No. I don't want to take up, I don't want a long...
Just give me your assessment. Your assessment matters.
I was shocked. I was in. My mouth dropped open when I heard the behavior coming. I mean, some of the language and some of the violence coming out of these people's mouths and addressing and talking about throat cutting. You heard all that thing about, from cutting throat from ear to ear. You heard that kind of stuff?
Well,
that's something you are dismissing lightly, Mr. Ellis.
No. What I dismissed was the what you saw as this attack on.
That was all part of it. No, I mentioned that, but that was all part. I asked if you heard. My initial start off was to ask if you heard the entire thing. So, how do you take the comments and the metaphors about throat cutting and all that kind of stuff like that.
I mean, I've heard several
political meetings stuff before, but this is uncharted behavior that I've ever seen on coming from a political platform. Have you? I mean, you're a journalist. Have you seen it before? Have you seen this kind of behavior before?
I've never seen speaker after speaker go after one person in that way. And the truth of the matter is that we have, when David Eswick came into the public domain and distanced himself from the policies of Mr. Sinclair, we said that it's a system of collective responsibility. Did we not say that? That you couldn't understand how one minister could separate himself from the policies of the cabinet.
I don't want to veer too far.
I just want to make one other point in that regard, though. Because I want to be consistent.
Am I presenting any inconsistency?
No, I'm not saying that you are. I want to be consistent. Now, by the same token, how do you separate one person in a cabinet of the past from the prime minister of that era and from the cabinet minister, the other people who served in cabinet? This approach that was adopted last night did exactly that. What it did was to give the impression that all decisions that were negative were made by that person. So, but that's the politics of it. It is just for you to recognize that the positives associated with the period would have to be articulated by the Barbados Labour Party, which did so the night before.
David, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's, you know, it's erudite. It sounds quite erudite in terms of...
You were offended.
Oh, more than offended. It is more than offensive. I mean, I've spoken to a number of people and friends. I mean, people are in shock. I mean, that's why my question to you, sir, is have you ever in your lifetime seen this kind of behavior coming from a political...
You know what?
Before?
It was interesting about it, that there are so many other scenarios in this country where when women are attacked, the women are the ones to gang up against the men. But in this instance...
Please don't draw them kind of parallels right now. Please, don't do that. Don't do that. Let's stick to the issue at hand and what I want to address. And that is, my question to you was, have you ever in your lifetime seen this kind of...
But I told you no, I haven't seen it.
Okay. Doesn't that bring some discomfort to you with regards to me? We are at the beginning of a campaign. And as far as it's said that it's going to be nasty. It's going to be all the things coming from the Democratic Party side about what kind of campaign it's going to be, and that is the start off of the campaign. It's scary when you look at that and
there's only a
level of anger coming from that platform. I'm being venomous.
Well, you can look. You can give your own interpretation about yourself.
I'm giving mine. Well, at the same time, I'm asking you. You have a level of responsibility in Barbados, David, as a senior journalist. So I don't want to feel any sense of light dismissal of what I witnessed last night, or what the public of Barbados witnessed. For those who would have witnessed it, I don't want to dismiss it because I thought it was a little. When you saw it, but you're not taking it serious. I mean, I couldn't be. I was in shock that you would say something like that because
But you know, you're taking what I said out of context. I said I said I was not taking seriously the comments that were made about myself and the moderators.
But that was only part of my that was only part of what I said.
No, so that is the only aspect of it that I have commented on in that way.
So you're making that distinction now that's the reference. When you reference it as you wasn't taking it seriously.
It was only that. I wasn't talking about the overall tone of the meeting and stuff like that.
So the overall tone of the meeting and what you heard and the level of
I will give that opinion towards the end of the program rather than try to influence people's views here and now. I think that my intervening in it too early has the potential to skew it.
But okay, you made some beeps. I'm going to wrap up here. You made a few some beeps during your presentation by one of the speakers.
Yeah.
And I mean, obviously, it's not even of the quality for broadcast. I don't know if you could bring the part about the short slitting and stuff, if that is it's so that the, for
but you were spoken have, about it. I mean, why must I go back there?
Okay, but you were confirming that was said, right?
Well, I can't remember the throat slitting part.
Go and pull up the thing and check it out. I asked you earlier if you would listen.
No, the more important thing is for you. You're Barbadian. You've listened to the meeting. You need to look at that meeting in the context of how it makes you feel and
David,
what do you
David,
say to other Barbadians about it.
David,
it's for you to do
okay.
that.
Here's what I'm going to finally ask you. Based on what you saw last night and what was displayed on the platform, and this is the beginning, you know. I think
that the Democratic Labour Party took a big risk by having the meeting take the turn that it did, and I don't know the consequences. I can have my own personal view, but we are in a changing world, and it is quite possible that my notion of what is politically correct and what will win you friends and influence people may
that
be completely skewed from a large number
listen,
of the people in the electorate. I
listen,
don't know. But I can say, in my judgment, I think they took that was a big risk last night.
Let me wrap it up here. I've come in from that same party. If you listen to the statements made in the parliament, they talk about cracking heads and all. When you look at the and blood and streets and the stuff that was coming from it, their previous speeches and what was said in parliament and what was said last night, and when you look at and sense it, it is not a good place for Barbados. It's not a good place to be.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.